When life and ministry are running at a breakneck pace, what does it take for the Lord to get your attention? Welcome to Hope Renewed, the podcast of PIR Ministries. Thanks for joining me for Hope Renewed. I'm Tom Jameson, and this is the in-depth podcast about pastoral renewal and restoration. It's where we explore the issues and situations that can put pastors at risk and share hope when ministry leaves us hopeless.
October 23rd, 2016, I had a massive heart attack.
In this episode of Hope Renewed, we're hearing from Mark Urich. Mark is a regional director with PIR Ministries, among other ministry roles he fills. He shares his story of a fairly recent and nearly fatal event and how the Lord is using that to shape his life and his ministry. We hope Mark's story is a source of hope for you.
I'd spent 13 years in the Army. I've been in ministry, 35 years now. Former drill sergeant, recruiter, high-pressure jobs. When I left the Army, I kind of reproduced what I did in the Army, and that was running and gunning all the time, full blast for Jesus. You know, I've learned over the years to try to balance that out. 3 days before the heart attack, I had some chest pains, but I blew it off at the gym, thought it was just indigestion. Came home, the pain was gone. Friday morning, went back to the gym, same thing, chest pains. And I came home and told my wife, you know, been having these pains, they kind of come and go, and it's too late to call the doctor today. I'll call him on Monday. Sunday after church, I come home, I sit down and I'm watching the Lions game. That pain came back, just sitting, resting. So I'm noticing this pain, and it's like at about a level two. About a half hour goes by, we get in the car, we're driving down the road, and I'm noticing this pain's getting more intense. And I'm thinking, didn't want to say anything to Jill. I'm thinking to myself, what's going on here? You know, is it something? I feel like there was a lump right in the middle of my chest right here. We're driving down the road, and all of a sudden that pain, Tom, went from a 2 to a 10. Just threw me in the back of my seat, and I pushed down the steering wheel and had to jerk the car off the road. My wife is going, what's wrong? And I said, I can't breathe. You know, the real miracle in all this is my wife had had a stroke 16 years ago, and she's blind on her left side, both peripheral. Didn't know it, but we had just passed an urgent care. She saw that. She said, can you drive the car across the street and into that urgent care? So I was able to whip the car around, pulled up to the door, and stumbled into urgent care, and I fell on the chairs in there, grasping my chest. The medical technicians, a doctor came out. They threw me up on the gurney and loaded me up with all the monitors and everything, and my heart rate was 198 over 146. And the doctor said to me, Mr. Urich, you're having a heart attack. We have to get you to the hospital. And I said, well, take me to my hospital. We have all Beaumont doctors. And he looked at me, which really I knew I was in trouble then. He said, Mr. Urich, you're not going to make it to Beaumont. We've got to take you to Henry Ford. That's 2 minutes away. The ambulance got there, put me in the ambulance. During that, it was about an hour time frame. They had given me 3 nitroglycerins. And by the time I got to the hospital, they gave me my second shot of morphine. None of that fazed me. I'll never forget, Tom, in the emergency room there, they're waiting for the doctor. The cardiologist was at the Lions game. He finally got there, and I remember calling my wife over, and I honestly didn't think I was going to make it. The pain was so intense. I couldn't breathe. They kept saying, hang on, hang on. And finally, the surgeon got there, and they ran me down to the operating room and shoved me in the room there. And they were moving very quickly. And last thing I remember they said was, don't move. Within 2 minutes, they ran a catheter up my wrist, into my arm, to my chest, and the pain was instantly gone. And I remember looking off the table, my head up, and I said to the doctor, I said, what did you do? What did you do? And the doc came over and he said, I saved your life, buddy. And he pulled the video screen down and showed me. He said, sir, he said, you had 99% blockage in the widow maker. And the reality is Most guys don't make it. He said, the only way you made it, you've been working out all these years, your heart was strong enough to keep that 1% of blood pumping until I was able to slip that stent in there. And there was very little damage done. It was a miracle. The next day in ICU, a nurse came into our room, and her name was Nancy. She looked at me kind of funny, and she said, what are you doing here? And I said, I had a heart attack. She said, no, sir, what are you doing here? And she said, let me ask you, what do you do for a living? And I remember telling her, I said, I'm a pastor. And she got this very stern look on her face and crossed her arms. And she said, I'll tell you what you're doing here. God allowed this to happen, to put you here so you would listen. You haven't been spending time with God. You've been neglecting your relationship with God. You've been out busy doing helping everybody else, but you haven't been helping yourself by spending time with the Lord. And you know, Tom, she read my mail. She spoke life. It was like the Lord was speaking to me, say, hey, buddy, get a hold of this. You need me. I remember just sobbing and just saying, you're right. And a week later, a pastor friend of mine who's been a mentor in my life for many, many years called me and basically told me the same thing. I used to say I learned five things, but now I'm saying I'm still learning these five things, because Paul says, in fact, I think it's in Philippians, he says, not that I've already obtained it or I have all the answer. The reality, Paul is saying, I don't have all the answers. And I'm still searching and seeking God myself. The Lord is teaching me these five things that I hope will be a blessing to many. Five things I'm learning through my storm. I was reminded of Matthew chapter 8, in verse 23, if I could just read that to you. It says, then he got into the boat, he, Jesus, and his disciples followed him. And verse 24 says, without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake. And that's what happens in life sometimes, without warning. We weren't expecting this. You know, I took care of myself physically for years, ate right, did all the right things, physicals every year, you know, low blood pressure, lowered my cholesterol, lost weight, feeling great, and then without warning. And that's kind of what happens in life, even in ministry. Without warning, things happen. There are five things I felt like the Lord is still teaching me. And the number one thing is that I'm to hold on tightly to my relationship with God as if my very next breath depends on it, which it really does. You know, Tom, back at that time, my relationship with God was very surface. I knew I was in sin. I knew that I was just going through the motions, very busy with ministry, running and gunning, helping people, serving on my church staff as an associate pastor and doing lots of things, lots of good things in ministry. But I knew deep down my devotion time with God was very, very shallow. I remember what Paul said in Philippians 2. He said to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I had this thought about that. I said, it's like working out at the gym. God and I are working on me. He's doing that work that he began in me, he's continuing it until the day of Jesus Christ. So that was the first thing I learned. The second thing I learned was when I was looking up at my wife on that operating table, before they rushed me in, I thought, oh my gosh, this could be the last time I ever see her. And I thought to myself, this is what I'm learning here, to hold on tightly to my relationship with my wife and my family as if their life depends on it. Because the reality is, first and foremost, as husbands and fathers, our families are counting on us. They're counting on us to be there for them. So that relationship has got to be so tight and so secure. And I felt like the Lord said this to me, just be quick to reconcile, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. You know, that goes for my entire family. I remember many years ago when my father served 37 years in the Army. And when I came to Christ, we had no relationship. My pastor says, if your father's ever going to come to Christ, you're the one, Mark. You're both in the Army now. You're the one. You can speak into his life. And so, long story short, I made it my life's goal to reconcile our relationships. And today, my father's in heaven with the Lord. And then the third thing I'm learning is to hold on tightly to my relationships with my brothers in Christ, as if our lives depend on it, because it really does. Scripture says that iron sharpens iron. Lone Rangers are going to become lone strangers. We need our brothers. We need those advocates in our lives. We need those people who will challenge us and encourage us. And I love what 1 Samuel 18:1 says. It says, and the soul of Jonathan was knit together or bound together with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And I think about that, how we need each other, especially in the days that we're living in, the evil times, the lustful times, those things that come into our life, where we've got to have those brothers who are close enough to us that we can go to them and be transparent and receive prayer and counsel and encouragement. The buddy system always works. You know, our military is successful because they never do things on their own. They work in teams, you know, sometimes small special ops teams. Well, us in ministry, we are special operators for God, and we need each other to accomplish the mission to bring Christ to our world. And the fourth thing I'm learning, and boy, this is a challenge for me, and that is to hold on loosely to those things I cannot control, things that are out of our reach. I'm still learning this, to trust in the Lord with all my heart, and don't lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct our paths. And even at times, Tom, in ministry, when we think that, wow, this would be awesome, God, let's go for this, that a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Even if we're thinking, man, we've got the answer here, we've got to be submitted to the leading of the Spirit of God, that we not hold on, even our ministries. The reality, none of this is ours. We've been bought with a price, you know, and Scripture tells us that we're to glorify God in our bodies. It's so important that we not hold on to things that we don't have control over. I'm learning to let go and let God. And then the fifth thing, I was so blessed. When I had this heart attack, I asked the cardiologist right away. My biggest concern was, will I ever be able to go back to the gym? And he looked at me, he says, what are you, new? He said, I'm going to get you back in the gym within the next 2 weeks. I learned this again. I'm still learning that I've got to take care of my physical body. Scripture tells us our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, down through the years, I've seen so many of my good brothers in the Lord, they've gotten so busy in ministry that they've sacrificed their physical body. And God has not called us to that. I look at it this way. When I'm with the Lord, that's in my appointment book. I have an appointment with God. It might be an hour. It might be 2 hours. The same thing is true for myself, my physical body. When I go to the gym or go for a walk, or my wife and I were trying to walk together, those are appointments that we need to set in our life. I'm sure that our brothers or sisters that might be listening, we're in this thing for the long haul. You know, I have a couple pastor friends that are in their early to mid-80s, and they're still serving God in a lesser capacity, but these gentlemen have taken care of their physical bodies. We have no guarantees for tomorrow, you know. I never in my wildest dreams would have thought that I would have potentially be taken out with a heart attack. You know, I'm thinking, worst case scenario, if I'm taken out, maybe I get a bullet to the brain preaching the gospel or something like that. I remember, though, Tom, sitting there, laying there on the table, and I'm thinking to myself, this can't be it. This can't be it. This can't. Lord, I want to serve you. I have so much that I felt like you put in my... And the Lord saw me through, so I'm double determined to listen to my doctors, because the reality, in taking care of my body, I was doing too much. I didn't know that I had this blockage, but the reality is I was almost killing myself. I just encourage eat right, proper rest, take those days, Sabbath rests, at least one a week. What really encouraged me, our National Director Roy just really encouraged me and challenged me to take a day of solitude. I get alone completely for 6 to 8 hours with God, with my Bible, and just go out into nature. And boy, this is my second month. Next month, I've already got it on my calendar, a day of solitude with the Lord. So that's what I'm still learning, Tom, and I hope it's been a blessing to those that are listening.
I do know Mark's story has been a blessing to me and a challenge, and I hope for you as well. So, does the Lord have your attention? What changes might you need to make? What practices can you be putting into place to make sure you're running the race well? I pray that it doesn't take something drastic like a heart attack or a major conflict in marriage or even an untimely, unplanned exit from ministry to make us aware of the changes that we need to make. I invite you to visit the PIR website and check out the resources we have there. We want to encourage and equip you no matter where you find yourself in life and ministry. You can learn more about PIR Ministries at our webpage, pirministries.org. Please know we stand ready to serve you and pastors you know facing the uncertainty and pain of forced vocational transition. Thanks for listening to Hope Renewed. And remember, the hope of Christ does not put us to shame.